Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright. Okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday, as we get you ready for a big weekend in sports wagering, fantasy sports. Of course, we've got playoffs in the NBA and NHL. I am Craig Mish, here to take care of your business for you on this Friday, June 4th, 2021. By my side, once again, here on this Friday, as we close out the week, is none other than George Kurtz. We're going to break down some NHL, talk some hockey as well. George, great to be with you here on this Friday. I know that you were with us at the end of the show. You were a little frozen, so I just imitated you for the last like 3 or 4 minutes of the show. I hope you don't take that personally. It's great to see you live in color and your mouth moving.
Yes, that was pretty much a little preview of what the rest of my day was going to be like. Lost my cable, lost my internet, lost everything. And as Brett Levy keeps joking with me, well, that's good because you weren't able to watch the Yankee game then. Thank you so much.
Yeah, did not go very well. Big plus money there on the Rays, no doubt. Let's get to our headlines here on this Friday. You heard Chris's, here's ours. Very similar. Denver Nuggets beat the Portland Trailblazers. They advance to round two, and wouldn't you know, the Phoenix Suns take care of business against the Lakers. They are also moving on. We'll have one game tonight in the NBA. Hurricanes, Bruins get wins in the NHL playoffs. How about the Carolina Hurricanes hanging around? Fernando Tatis Jr., he hits a home run in the win over the Mets, and we've got a real good home run chase this summer, as it is Fernando Tatis Jr., Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Ronald Acuna Jr., all three fighting for the home run title at the end of the season. We'll see what happens there. And unfortunately, play suspended twice during round one of the Memorial. But clearly the big story, I think, today is the exit from the first round for LeBron James. And in case you were wondering, when was the last time that we have seen this happen for LeBron? Well, the answer is never. 14 straight first round playoff victories for LeBron James comes to an end for the first time as the Lakers get down by the Phoenix Suns. And LeBron talked about the end of the season coming to an end and what next season just may look like.
Every season, like I tell you guys all throughout the season, every season is different. Every challenge is different. And to be able to put myself where I can even have accomplishments, you know, to either be broken or to be able to continue it. It's all through the grace of the man above and me just trying to put in a lot of hard work in. My teammates, having great teammates, having great coaching staffs, things of that nature. So, you know, records are, if there's a record or if it's not, they're always meant to be broken. So in that fashion, you know, it doesn't matter to me as far as, you know, not making it out of the first round. What matters to me is getting this team back healthy. You know, me not being able to be at my full strength throughout this series, you know, that's my main focus. But, you know, time to you know, readjust and think about what the offseason has in store.
Interesting to see George LeBron James taking a bow here at the end of the season. He was really banged up, especially for the last couple of months. Their other very good player, Anthony Davis, was also injured. But we have not seen the last George of LeBron James this summer, because Space Jam is getting ready to come out here in about a month, and it promises to be one of the top movies, I would guess, of the summer. And so get ready to hear a lot more from LeBron James as we get closer to that.
Hey, do you want to guess if I've seen the first Space Jam? Because the answer would be no.
The answer is definitely no. I didn't even bring it up.
No. And I'm not going to see this one either. Yeah, tough season for the Lakers. LeBron had the high ankle. Davis had the groin. And those injuries don't heal. They're just not going to heal in a short period of time here.
So, you know what, no. George? You know, honestly, they're probably never going to play ever again. They're never going to heal. You know, we've probably seen the last game for LeBron James right. and Anthony Davis. The movie's going to stink. The weather is terrible. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation right now.
Pandemic's never going away. We're never going to be able to go out again. You know, yeah, walk up skill, uphill to school both ways and 6 feet of snow. Yeah. Barefoot.
You're having a hard time getting a suntan. I mean, look, I've heard the story before, George.
Suntan? I'm just happy if my skin doesn't melt. Forget a tan here. Have you seen me? No, tan is not. I'm Irish, man. Tan is not my language. My wife's Filipino, man. I get busted. My own kids bust my chops because at least they'll burn than tan. You know, according to them, I'm going to burn under these lights we have. I might burn under this. So I got to wear like SPF 50 to do this show.
Yeah. So your kids get burned, and that's acceptable, huh, George? All right. Listen, we're off to a great start here on the show today. I would say that for sure. What was your takeaway from the NHL games last night? We got about a minute before we got a break.
I mean, both games go to overtime. Great games here. Carolina had to win, right? They had to win. You go down 3-0. It's over in the NHL. I think only four teams in history have come back. So great game there. Big win. You know, we like Tampa Bay. I know I like Tampa Bay a lot. They've only scored 5 goals in the series. Maybe 6 goals. They got to score some goals. You're not going to win scoring 2 goals a game here. Got to score some goals here. Big win by Carolina. For the Islanders, tough loss. Bruins outplayed them. I don't think there's any doubt the Bruins outplayed them. They outshot them almost 2-1 here. But the Islanders were really rocking in overtime. And once again, it's another goal. Craig, we keep talking about this. If you would have told the Islanders, hey, Vamo, you're only going to give 2 goals, you take it. He could have thrown him in his own net, but the game-winning goal was a flip from the boards. It can't go in. Tough loss there. But once again, got to score goals. That game looked like it was going to work out well for the Islanders. Mentioned yesterday, Barzal had the score to get going. He did. He scored. The Islanders could have won the game. Everything could have turned around here. Big loss for the Islanders, and now Saturday is a must-win for them to have any chance in the series.
No doubt. All right, coming up next, we're going to preview the Habs and Winnipeg Jets. They play tonight. Also, we'll bring Brett in for our preview of the NBA game. He's very partial because he's holding a ticket for the Dallas Mavericks, so I don't know that we'll get the truth out of him, but we will try. As Fantasy Sports Today continues here on this Friday, don't go away. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back here on this Friday on Sports Grid, here on Fantasy Sports Today. Great to see everyone who is watching the show. Great to talk to all of you here on this Friday. Don't forget, we'll be right back here again on Monday, noon Eastern. Davis Maddock will be back in the house after his little bit of a break to move into his new apartment slash house slash yacht slash I don't know exactly what it is that he moved into. So hopefully we'll get some more details on that. We got George Kurtz here today. And of course, we have Brett Levy, our producer here, as well as James over at LTN, keeping us on the air when he's not busy with the Kansas City Royals. So let's bring in Brett here as we discuss the NBA. Brett, before we get to tonight's preview, I feel like, you know, it was interesting. I was looking at the post-game video sound that the NBA has so graciously given us the ability to use. I can't state that enough here on Fantasy Sports Today. It's great to have that. And I knew exactly where I was going. It was going right to LeBron James. I just had to find the video, get it, and get it on this show today. What were your thoughts about some of the things that LeBron talked about post-game? He seemed to indicate that he still was banged up. And he didn't use it as an excuse, but it was pretty evident that he was not playing at 100% in these playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think we knew LeBron's ankle was bothering him. I think he actually mentioned, you know, like even a few weeks before the playoffs, he was not going to be 100%. His ankle hadn't recovered full strength. And we all kind of brushed it off as like, oh, he just doesn't want to give it away. It's a little gamesmanship, whatever. But yeah, 36 years old, your body's not going to recover as quickly. He has played a ton of minutes in his NBA career, mm-hmm. been to a ton of NBA finals, played late in the season last year with a shortened off season. So it's to be expected that his body is going to eventually break down at some point. You kind of never expect it when it's someone like LeBron James, who's almost superhuman, but you know, father time is undefeated, Craig.
Yeah. 36 years old. He mentioned that, and was also very candid about for the first time really looking forward to the offseason and having a full 3 months to rest before they tip it off again. I'll be bullish on the Lakers going into next year for sure. They just were not right for the last 2 months. All right, let's get to tonight's game. This is a very big one and a confusing series, to say the least, as the Clippers-Mavericks has just basically been the road team wins. That's been the story. And the Clippers tonight are -3 on the road at Dallas. The total is 216.5 over on FanDuel. Mavericks lead the series 3-2. Brett picked the series to go to Dallas. I think you said in 7. So does that mean the Clippers win tonight, Brett? Or does it mean that Dallas closes it out tonight? Dallas +3, Clippers -3, or the total? What do you like tonight?
Yeah, Craig, I actually thought this was going to be 6 games from the beginning, so I guess I would indicate I'm leaning Dallas in this one. But what I really thought would happen would be, you know, splits in the first 2, and then Dallas would close it out because they're the better team. What ended up happening is everyone's won on the road games, so that would indicate that the Clippers -3 tonight is the side to be on. I'm going to stay with my pre-series prediction of 6 games for Dallas. I love Luka Doncic. I think for 2 years now, the Mavericks have looked like the better team in this matchup when both teams are healthy and on the floor. So I'm going with Dallas. I think Luka is truly like that dude now. He is one of those guys that at the end of the game, he's going to get you a bucket when he needs to get you a bucket. It did not matter who was guarding him in the last game. They had Kawhi on him, Paul George, Pat Beverly, Nick Batum. So they were giving him tons of different looks, and you know, he thought he could have played better with 42 and 14 or something like that. So I'm definitely looking at the Mavericks with the points. I'd probably stay away from the money line, but this one could be close down the stretch, unlike the last night's games.
All right, so we'll see. Hopefully so, because last night wasn't great. I saw Portland up, then down big, and Phoenix basically took care of business. So we're hoping for a good game tonight in the NBA. We'll see. Let's bring back in George Kurtz. Let's talk some NHL playoffs, get some predictions tonight, maybe some leans. Montreal takes on Winnipeg. Of course, the Habs lead the series 1-0, but the line is basically telling you it is a coin flip on FanDuel, as Winnipeg is -118. You're not getting much value even on the Habs. They're plus 100. The total is 5.5. George, can Winnipeg pull out this game before they go back to Montreal, or what do you think happens here? Does Montreal go up 2-0 going back home? Because if so, that's probably the series.
Well, this one's interesting, right? Because I had Winnipeg winning this series before it started, but that's before I knew that Mark Scheifele was going to be suspended for 4 games. Now, for those who don't listen, if you don't know, you're not a hockey fan. All right, Scheifele's the one who took the a run at Evans of Montreal. I mean, he knocked him out, literally knocked him out cold on the ice there. So Evans is a jag, just another guy there for Montreal. But Scheifele is one of the best players in the NHL. I think I've said it on this show a couple of times. He's one of the best unknown players. You don't know the name like you know Connor McDavid, Sidney McCrosby, Matthews, guys like that. But he's that good a player. I've a big believer in one of the reasons why Winnipeg lost to Calgary, and I think it was 6 games last season, was because Scheifele got hurt in Game 1 and didn't play the rest of the series. And now, once again, he plays Game 1 and is suspended for Games 2, 3, 4, and 5. Big loss. Big loss here. So I think Winnipeg's definitely in trouble. Definitely in trouble. And how do they handle that? Now lines have to be changed. Who's going to center the top line? Is it Dubois? If he centers the top line, well, then who centers the second line? Everything gets messed up now. Chemistry is sort of out the door here. It's a lot to ask Winnipeg to figure out in one day. Even though we knew he was going to get suspended on Wednesday, he got suspended yesterday. So to figure this out, yeah, I like Montreal. I think it's hard not to like Montreal. I like the under as well, like the both unders in yesterday's game also here. I'm curious to see how Winnipeg responds to it. Now, when I say I like Montreal, I don't love them. I'm not going bananas here, but I like them tonight. They're playing well. They're playing good hockey. Winnipeg needs to find their game. As for Colorado and Vegas here, this is a must-win for Vegas. Now, I thought they outplayed Colorado. I thought they were a horrendous officiating call in overtime, a call you just don't make. It's a first-period call. You know, you want to make a statement as a ref, fine. You call it in the first period. You don't call that in overtime because then you've missed 30 other calls that should have been called if you're going to call that. So this is a must-win game for Vegas. It does go back to Vegas. That's a good place to play, very good for the home team there. But you're asking a lot to beat Colorado. But if you don't win tonight, series is over. Once again, only 4 teams in NHL history have come back from 3-0. So if you don't win tonight, it's all over. We can just, you know, pull up the tent, go home. Series over, turn out the lights. So I'm going to go Vegas tonight only because they had to play with desperation. You have no choice but to play with desperation. They were the better team in Game 2. They were. Grubauer, the goaltender for Colorado, was outstanding. He'll be outstanding again tonight. I have little doubt of that. But I'm going to give Vegas the edge here tonight. But once again, not a big lean. I'm feeling the over here tonight at 5.5. Yeah, I think it's a 4-3 game. That being said, it's a small. Once again, these are all small names. I don't love anything tonight. I love more the props as far as shots on goal in the games tonight. I like shots on goal for all the Colorado Avs, Rantanen, McKinnon, Landeskog to a lesser degree. But I like all the shots on goal props more than I like the games itself. But give me Vegas, small, Montreal, small, under in Montreal, Winnipeg, over Colorado, okay. Vegas.
Yeah. By the way, most of the totals I've seen in these playoff games have been 5.5. Like, I mean, I haven't seen a 6 or a 5. Have you?
I saw a 5 quickly, very quickly on one game. I don't remember which game it was. It was up there for a second, then it went away here. If you're seeing 6s, doesn't that tell you something? Defense wins. Goaltending wins. Those teams that can score goals but give up goals aren't here. They aren't here. So that's why you're not seeing 6.5. Edmonton's gone. Teams like that, they're gone. They're not here. So I've been waiting for it as well here. Believe me, I wish they were 6.5, but I'm not surprised that all we're seeing is 5.5.
Yeah, I think Florida-Tampa had 2 games that were 6 because the Panthers were scoring a lot, but their goaltending wasn't really good until they put that young kid in there night. So maybe that kind of adds up and makes some sense. All right, from the NBA and NHL to Major League Baseball we go. Full slate of games tonight. So coming up next, we'll go to the FanDuel Sportsbook, see if we can give you some leans on some of the games this evening before lineups come out. And then we'll take a look at the daily fantasy site on FanDuel and give you the pricing on some of our top options. So make sure you stay with us on the grid, and we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, along with George Kurtz here on this edition of the show. Davis Maddock has the day off. We've got baseball going on, of course, tonight. Full slate of games. We're going to give you some of the daily fantasy options on FanDuel. Unfortunately, yesterday we had a lot of players that ended up getting the day off on Thursday. But, of course, they'll be back in the lineup today, no doubt. So, George, I guess before we get into this game here, the first game that we're going to discuss, Red Sox-Yankees, I suppose the question has to be, are you prepared for the weekend for, let's just say, minimum of 12 hours of viewing time? Because when these two teams play each other, the games are long. They tend to have a lot of pitching changes, a lot of walks, a lot of strikeouts, a lot of mound visits, because these two teams know that they're bragging rights on the line. And so things get a little bit heightened even in a regular season. So can you devote yourself to 12 hours of Yankees Red Sox this weekend?
Oh, I can. I believe I'm working for us all weekend on the back office, so I'll be doing plenty of producing here and watching a lot of baseball here. I get why people complain. You mentioned 12 hours. That might be your over-under. All right, these games are going on 4.5 sometimes, right? The Sunday night game, when it started at 8, would go on past midnight a lot, and I get why it bothers people. It doesn't bother me. I enjoy the games. Plus, you know, if you're watching more than one game, yeah, commercial, I'll go watch another game. I never cared here, but I get why it bothers people. But I'll tell you this, Craig, the way the Yankees have played, that's one thing I've noticed. The Yankee games haven't been going long for the most part, and that tells you something about the Yankees, because they play long games because they stretch the pitching out, right? They go to 3-2 counts. They make the pitches work. They're not doing that as much this year. The games are ending quicker. So they've made Manfred very happy, you know, for the most part. Anyway, I think the Yankee games are under the league – I'm not talking 10, 15 minutes under, but under the league average. So I don't think they're going to – I'm going to say you're going to have one – only one game that's going to go past 4 hours.
Okay. Well, we'll see this weekend, and we'll check back with you next week or the week after. In fact, I'll check back with you next week. You'll come on the show and do some hockey with me, and then we'll discuss it. But the line is even today, basically. Yankees are going to be a little bit of a home favorite here, it looks like, tonight when it goes off on FanDuel. The total is 9.5 and -115 on the money line for New York, 102 for Boston. Michael King is going to start for the Yankees, so we'll see how DP can get into the game. Nate Eovaldi, I saw him pitch against Miami, pitched pretty well last time out. Miami's going through a tough time, though, so I'm not sure that's a great indicator. So, George, what do you think here, this one? The total is telling you that neither of these starters are going to figure in to the end of the game.
Well, King certainly not. All right, I think that's safe to say there. He's not going to figure into the end of the game. He made his first start of the season Sunday in Detroit. Mixed bag, and that's probably being kind. I don't think things are going to be all that different tonight. If he goes 5 innings, I think the Yankees will be thrilled. Anything more there, once again, they'll be doing somersaults here. The bullpen's a little taxed for the Yankees. You know, they're a little taxed there. So I don't know if the top guys will be available. Certainly not for more than one inning tonight. So we'll see how that goes here. I like the Sox tonight. I mean, I've been betting against the Yankees for a while. I bet it yesterday because I didn't bet against the Yankees yesterday. I don't bet against Cole. I expect better things from him. He didn't have it yesterday. Umpiring didn't help very much either yesterday. That was exhibit A for why we should have robot umps. And the guy was way out of the baseline too. Anyway, so I'm going to like the Sox tonight against King. I just don't see how King's going to be able to do all that well, get the Sox lineup that can hit. And the over-under at 9, came down to 9. So now you know where the money's going. The money's going towards the under here, which is where I like to lean as well. I do wonder, though, if the Sox beat up a little bit on King tonight. And one thing the Yankees will do, which is smart, if the game gets out of hand, they're not going to bring in Lasagna, Chad Green. They're going to go with the lesser guys, Krisky, Sessa. And these guys tend to get hit. So the under scares me. I'm definitely not going over, but the under scares me a little bit, but I still lean towards the under. Sox and the under.
Yeah, I think with me, I like Boston a little bit more than the total. I just don't trust it. And, you know, Eovaldi, the thing with him, too, is that he just is so rarely efficient with his pitches. And then you're dealing with two bullpen games. And if that's the case, it's going over that total. So I'm with you there a little bit on Boston. All right, rematch of the National League Championship last year. Some people feel this is going to happen this year. Padres don't feel that way. But Braves and Dodgers. Braves are at home. And LA right now is -126 on the money line. So another tough call here. Braves, you can get a little bit of plus money. Julio Urias pitches for the Dodgers. And George Ian Anderson got an extra day of rest to pitch for Atlanta. Anderson has been one of the NL's top pitching rookies. Trevor Rogers of Miami, probably number one. Anderson, number two. Braves, we know we're going to be playing still a little shorthanded. No Darno for the rest of the season. Probably no Ozuna for the rest of the season. And LA is starting to get healthy a little bit. Corey Seager is on the trip to Atlanta. They have not activated him yet. But if he is in the lineup, that certainly helps them a bunch too. And the total is 9 in this game tonight.
Yeah, Pollock is back too, for what's that worth. He got activated yesterday. This is an interesting matchup, right? Urias had been pitching very well this season, but got wrecked in his last start. You know, I don't know what happened there. I lean towards the Dodgers, hard not. I mean, we're always going to lean towards the Dodgers. It's really just how much money you want to put on them. Ian Anderson, a young pitcher that I like as well here. It's in Atlanta. It'll be a small play on the Dodgers, and it'll be a straight up. I won't parlay it. I don't have any feel for the over-under. I probably, once again, lean towards the under, but I'm not taking it. I don't feel great about it. But give me the Dodgers here, but that's how I feel most games. And the Braves, sometimes been underwhelming. You know, I expect more. I know they have injuries. You brought them up, and they do. You know, but they've been underwhelming. I don't think they've quite hit their stride yet. Freddie Freeman hitting some home runs, but not a lot else.
Yeah. Well, again, 60-game season last year, he was the MVP. Guys are going to start to feel it now, George. We're approaching 60 games here in 2021. So we'll see how the usage of these players changes. Speaking of which, Shohei Ohtani, hopefully no traffic tonight for him so he can get to the game, minus 168 against Seattle. The Mariners are actually playing probably better than some people thought, around 500. They're plus 142, total is 8.5. Robert Duggar, who came over from the Marlins in the offseason, will start. He's more or less a five-inning pitcher. Ohtani starts for the Angels. Seattle, of course, still playing without Kyle Lewis, who looks like he's out for most of the year. Jared Kelenic has almost not hit at all for them, but Mitch Haniger has carried them. And the Angels pitching, George, has been just a nightmare. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. It's been horrible. They're chasing the bottom record in the American League right now, but they're a pretty big favorite tonight. Is there value here on Seattle, or any value on the total here?
No, not for me. There isn't. I'll be going with the Angels no matter who I'm going to parlay it with. We got minus 178 now, so I'll be able to probably parlay with somebody that I'll find there. Maybe a team like Boston, but probably not. I like Boston straight up. Maybe another team that could be the Padres. You know, with Blake Snell tonight against the Mets, it's probably the team I love tonight. Even though Blake Snell, I'm a little annoyed at that price, by the way, because Snell hasn't won. He's pitched terrible all year. But yeah. I like the Angels a bunch tonight. I like the fact that Ohtani finally went deep into the game last night. I think he went 6+, but at least he pitched in the seventh inning. He'd always been coming out around 5. If you want to see him go deeper into games, avoid the Angels' bullpen somewhat, which is a rested bullpen because they've lost, seems like, every game this week. So I like Ohtani a bunch tonight. I think he's going to pitch well. I think he's going to go minimum 6+, 7 innings here. And you're right, the Mariners have played better than expected. And Mitch Haniger is a great story. Him and Mancini have stories of the year in my mind for what they've come back from. Great great for them, but they're losing tonight. Mariners lose, Angels win here. The Angels might be my top play of the night.
Okay, good one. Minus 178 you said up to on FanDuel. All right, let's close it out here with Mets and Padres. Padres coming off their win yesterday with Tatis hitting the home run. And as George mentioned, there is no value on the Padres unless you're playing the run line, or you're, as George said, trying to find a parlay partner for this. But the Mets are plus 168 if you're interested there. Total is 7.5. Joey Lucchese, who's been a little bit up and down this year, and Blake Snell, who's been mostly down. Not really sure why, but it's been very confusing. We're going to talk about his DFS value. You could be shocked to see what you could get him at tonight. Boy, if you're willing to spend down and spend it on Blake Snell, you can get some value. But that's a story for 5 minutes from now. Let's close this out with the conversation. George, you like San Diego tonight. You don't love Snell. Would you consider the run line -1.5 and get yourself -120 or something like that? Or are you trying to find a parlay partner, or are you taking the Mets?
I am going probably crazy with San Diego tonight. I think I'm doing all three. All right. And what I mean by all three is I'm going to take the run line. Right now it's at plus 118 for a run and a half, minus 194 on the Padres. It'll be a parlay with somebody. Like I said, most likely with the Angels, two late games. I'll be up anyway. So fantastic. And the under has come down to 7. And Snell hasn't pitched all that well. The Mets have scratched out runs. The Mets are playing baseball. I think they're one of the few teams that actually play baseball the way it's meant to be played here. I have nothing but good things to say about the Mets. With all the injuries they've had, they've survived them, they get by, and they're winning games. And I think they'll score 2-3 runs tonight. It won't be enough to win the game, but they'll score two or three, and the Padres can hit. It's Lucchese who's pitching. Come on, this guy's not very good. No, I love the Padres across the board tonight. Give me the run line. Give me the Padres and the Angels in a parlay, and I'm going the over. Give me the over in this game. I think this is going to be minimum 5-3, 6-3 game here. The Padres might score more than 7 all by themselves. Thrilled that Tatis played last night as well, by the way, because we were worried about that oblique. So I love the Padres across the board tonight.
Yeah, he hit that home run. Do you think, George, I know Trout is out, but there's no excuse. I mean, when Trout was in there, they didn't win. What's going on with the Angels? Like, they just never win, even with Joe Maddon. It's like, it just doesn't matter what the personnel is. They're still one of the worst teams in the American League.
I believe their record when Trout was injured before this year was positive. They had over 500 record here, so they'd won without him before. And he'd had a major injury before, I believe, when he slid in Tampa and hurt his thumb, right?
So he'd been Miami, there.
So he'd done that injury before, and so they're used to playing without him. It's the pitching in my mind. I mean, outside of Ohtani, who doesn't even pitch once every 5 days, once every 7 days or whatever it seems like, they don't have much else. Bundy's your number one. Quintana's in your rotation. He's still – I mean – They have hitting. I mean, Rendon, great. Ohtani, great. Trout, great. They need pitching. Spend on the pitching.
Well, until they do, there will be none of that. But Pujols' money finally comes off the books this year. Maybe that's the way the Angels go next year. Okay, Daily Fantasy. For those of you who are getting ready to set your baseball lineup, make sure you stay with us because we're going to go through position by position, give you all the values for tonight's slate in baseball, Daily Fantasy style. On FanDuel. Stay with us. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics.
Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your
Stop it! They don't know your body, only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com, Signos.com, with code SPARK, Signos.
Topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Full slate of games here on this Friday, June 4th, 2020. Of course, we have Father's Day coming up very quickly, George. I know that you're getting set for that, and I am as well. Very big day in our household. What do you have, by the way, planned for Father's Day? What is your interest? Like, if someone was to say George Kurtz prefers to do this on Father's Day, what is a normal routine for you? We're 2 weeks away.
Normal routine would be a barbecue. I like a nice barbecue with my brother, my mom, my stepfather, obviously my family, my girls, and whoever else wants to come by. Pretty much, nice barbecue. Watch the games. You would have the game outside, assuming it's a nice day. Watch the game out in the patio. May not be able to do that this year as my mom has some medical issues. I might have to go to her house instead of having her here. I don't know if she'll be able to travel at that time. So just to get together with the family. I'm a family guy. Get together, watch a game, and I'm a happy guy. I don't really need much. Give me a couple of burgers, a little steak. I'm a happy guy.
All right. It sounds like my Father's Day, hopefully, coming up soon here in a couple of weeks. But before we get there, we got to get through Friday night. Now, George, look, last night we basically had a lot of guys sitting out. So I think tonight we got a better opportunity to help people for sure. Let's take a look at some of the starting pitching that is on the slate for this evening. Zach Wheeler of the Philadelphia Phillies is priced at $11,500 tonight. He's having a great season. Shohei Ohtani of the Angels, who we just talked about, $9,500. Freddie Peralta, $8,700. And as I alluded to, Blake Snell, $7,900 for one of the best teams in baseball. He's supposed to be one of the best pitchers in baseball, former Cy Young Award winner, dominated the World Series last year, but it's been a rough go. I guess you have to, if you buy 7,900, you're buying on the turnaround starting tonight.
Well, you're buying on, you're facing a depleted Mets lineup. That's what you're buying here. I've said this before. I mean, what do the Rays know that the rest of us don't know? I mean, they trade Blake Snell. And, well, they didn't trade light. I mean, they got Patino, a good one of the top young prospects in the game here, a couple others. And Snell is just terrible. Terrible. You know, and theoretically, he went to a lesser hitting league, right? Because the pitcher hits and that sort of thing. And then he's been, there's no other way of saying it. He's been terrible. So if you want to take Snell tonight at 7,900, I get it. It allows you to spend up at other positions, which is why I put him on the list, because I want to talk about him. But you're gambling. You are gambling here because I have no idea if he's going to pitch well against the Mets. I don't think I'll do it because I'm not going to. I am going to bet on the Padres tonight. So I don't think I want to bet my DFS teams also on. I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket here. I might have one lineup with him just for the sake of it, but I'll probably go with one of the other guys here. I love Peralta. He's pitched so well. The problem is he can be wild every now and then. Every now and then he loses that strike zone. So that's always the problem with him. You want to go Ohtani and pay up for Ohtani? I'm good with that. I think he's going to pitch a great game tonight. You want to go, hey, you're going to go pitching heavy and go Zach Wheeler? Love Zach Wheeler. Love Zach Wheeler at 11-5. I'm actually so disappointed when you think about the Phillies. You have Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola as your 1-2, and yet you're still not all that great a baseball team. Makes no sense to me, but I like all four guys here. Like I said, Snell, I'm interested, but it'll be if I wasn't gambling tonight, I'd have Snell in more lineups. I would roll with dice.
Okay, fair enough. Let's take a look at some hitters here. First base catcher, which is the way they price it on FanDuel. We have Vlad Jr. at 4,500 tonight. Matt Olson of Oakland, 4,100. Trey Mancini at 3,800. Jared Walsh, who is just clobbering the ball all season long, 3,600. And then you could even take a stab at Jose Abreu, Eric Hosmer. It does seem like there's some pretty decent options at this position tonight, George.
This position is loaded. First thing I saw, I'm like, oh my God, I can go 7-8 deep here and I'd be happy with any of these guys here. Does anybody ever take a catcher, by the way, in this spot? It's rare.
Very rarely. Very rarely. Yeah.
I mean, it is rare that I ever put a catcher. I don't care who it is. Romuto, and very rare. Every now and then, I guess I could. If it's Coors Field, I guess maybe I could throw somebody in there. And that's what Matt Olson is, Coors Field. You want to put Guerrero in there, fine. You already mentioned it. Yeah, he could hit a home run. He might lead the league in home runs. Yeah, love him. Mancini's on this list. You can put him in the outfield as well. I generally don't list players twice when they're always, multiple positions. You want to put him in as an outfielder, fine. And I do like Jared Walsh as well here. I could see myself having some kind of Oakland A's stack tonight with Colorado. Once again, it's Coors Field. You do that. I'm good with that. And Olson's been hot this week, so I'm a big Olson guy as well.
All right. I think that sounds like some pretty good options there. Walsh, to me, is a guy that, I mean, he's just been – I understand why they got rid of Pujols, but basically – and Pujols has done very well with the Dodgers, but Walsh is going to be a force moving forward. All right, second base. Now, here's the opposite of good. This is just basically throwing darts here. Whit Merrifield, 3,300 for Kansas City, George. You like Jake Cronenworth's shot at 3,300 with the Padres. Tommy Edman of the Cardinals, leadoff hitter, 3,000. And then Garrett Hampson of the Rockies, also priced at 3,000 tonight.
Yeah, it's a little, as you mentioned, little guys here. All right, little guys. You'd love to see one of these guys run into one for you and get a home run. I doubt that happens here. I'm looking for, you know, double, single, run score, maybe a stolen base from these guys, an RBI here or there. Hampson, we may be a day off on, right? He had a nice game last night. So maybe you stay away from him if you don't believe you can do it two nights in a row here against Frankie Montas tonight. Edmund's a guy I like. I mean, he's a nice little guy on a team. You can get him for 3,000, save some cash, and he generally puts up little points, but they're points. It's all I'm looking for here. I'm not expecting him to win my DFS. All right, if he does, hit the home run at 3 RBI or something like that, that's a bonus. I just don't want a zero. That's really what I'm looking for here. I don't want a zero. Cronenworth's sort of the same thing, and I'm probably going to have a lineup where I'm going to stack Padres against Lucchese. And if I'm right about this game with the Mets, they won't bring in their top relievers. They'll bring in their secondary relievers. More chances to beat up on those guys as well.
Very good tactic there, I think, for the Mets, although a lot of strikeouts for that bullpen of New York this season for sure. Okay, third base. Let's take a look and see where Jose Ramirez is priced tonight. He is at 3,900. Manny Machado, 3,800. Rafael Devers, 3,500. And then Giovanni Urshela of the Yankees, very cheap tonight, 2,500 if you want to take your shot at him.
You know, I'm going to go Devers tonight in a lot of my lines. Against Michael King, Yankee Stadium, short porch, and Devers has been smacking the wall here. I could be talking to quite a few Red Sox in my lineups tonight. You can really put any one of a number of them. I think the Red Sox are going to do some damage against Michael King tonight. And I sort of the same theory with the Mets. I think once King is out there, you're going to see some Brooks Kreske in the lineup pitching for the Yankees tonight, and that's not going to go well. So that's what the theory is there as far as the Red Sox are concerned. Machado, once again, I like the Padres tonight. Jose Ramirez, always going to like him if you want to spend up for it. And you mentioned Urshela, $2,500. If I need to save – it's why he's here. If I need to save cash, listen, Eovaldi, you said he's only going to go five-plus innings. Urshela might get one or two at-bats against that bullpen. He's batting fourth. You know, he's batting behind Stanton and Judge. I think that's where he stays tonight. Here, we don't have the lineups yet, but I'm going to like Gio tonight as well. And maybe more importantly, he's not against hitting the ball to right field. Right, hit a home run the other night, going to this the short porch here. Maybe poke one out again.
Okay, let's take a look at shortstop here, because Fernando Tatis Jr. is the highest price he's been all season long, George, tonight. He's $4,600. On FanDuel after hitting the home run yesterday. Xander Bogaerts, always a good value at $3,300. Tim Anderson of the White Sox, $3,300. And then Gavin Lux, who is priced at $2,700. Basically, I keep saying this every day, George. It's just you don't know if they're going to lead him off. And if they do, he's like a must play, I think. And if he's not, I think you don't. And I guess that's the dynamic that we always play with Lux.
He's all over the place in that lineup. I mean, you said I've seen him lead off. I've seen him hit fifth. I've seen him sixth, eighth. You just don't know where he's going to be. And I get it. The lineup is loaded here. The other day, I think Chris Taylor was hitting behind him. They were batting seventh and eighth, which I didn't expect to see. Lux is hot this week. That's why he's on this list. He's been had two home runs the other night. Hit another ball, which I thought was going to get out, I believe, on Wednesday. That went off the wall here. So he's feeling it. He's on the hot streak now. You want to put Tatis in. I'm always with Tatis. I think you said it the other day, if he could stay healthy, and I don't think he can, I don't think he's going to play the next 110 games, he probably would win the home run title. I think he could hit 50, 55 easy if he could stay healthy, but I don't think he can. The oblique scares me now, the shoulder. I think it's going to be an all-season thing long, an issue there. Bogaerts already said it with the Red Sox tonight. He's one of those guys I'm going to love, along with Devers, J.D. Martinez. If you're playing in a catch league, Vasquez. Tim Anderson. Yeah, they came out, couldn't play the second game of doubleheader the other day because of allergies. Okay, it happens. I know some people have them. My wife gets them. My daughter gets them. It's tough. Tough to play ball. But I like Tim Anderson as well. It was always fun to watch. You never know what antics he might have there. So I enjoy Tim Anderson as well in a good matchup tonight.
Yeah, I think Anderson is probably the top five fun player in the league for sure. Doesn't get enough credit, I don't think. All right, over to outfield. Mark Canha, will price him at $4,000 tonight of Oakland. Nick Castellanos of the Reds, $4,100. Tyler Naquin was just on fire in April. Sort of carried over to May a little bit, but has quieted a little. Eddie Rosario, $3,300. And then Garrett Cooper of the Marlins tonight, priced at $2,300. I don't know if he'll be in the lineup for sure, but provided that he is, George, you like him tonight as well.
Yeah, they were Cooper hoping to run into one. We got that last night. We want to hunt the Doja. He ran into one. Same thing with Cooper. And I like Cooper, ex-Yankee. Just I never had a chance to play here because the Yankees are always loaded at DH first base. So we hope we don't run into one there. Rosario is a big play. He'll be in a lot of my lineups tonight. Rosario at $3,300. Not all that expensive. Like the matchup there. You mentioned that Quinn. He was on fire in April. That was never going to carry over. But he has been terrible. Just hasn't been that kind of player. You hope, once again, Castellanos. I like the Reds tonight. You're seeing that in the outfield there. And Canha is part of that stack with Oakland. And Canha's been one of the better players that, once again, we don't talk about. He's been a good solid. He's not Juan Soto in a corner, but he's been a good solid player this year. He's priced a little high because of Coors Field, but I like Canha tonight as well.
All right. Well, we'll check back in next week on a little DFS. Davis will be back with us Monday, and we will hopefully you guys have a good weekend playing on DFS on FanDuel as well. Quick story here in the NFL. So let's touch on it here. The Miami Dolphins, George, are having their practices, their OTAs is what they call them, in June. And Tua Tagovailoa, their quarterback of Miami, was asked this week about just basically the game plan and the playbook, and made the comment that he didn't know the playbook very well last year. And that sort of raised a lot of eyebrows here in South Florida, George. Been reading about it, reading about head coach Brian Flores talking about that, the general manager Chris Greer, essentially saying no big deal. I don't know. What do you make of that, not knowing the playbook, if that is true in the first year as a quarterback? You just wash it?
I'm going to assume it's true because he said it. Why would he say it wasn't like it's a complimentary thing he said. Listen, I think a lot of quarterbacks don't know the full playbook in year one. Right? They just don't admit it. That's the only thing. You just don't say it out loud. But I don't have a big deal with it, no, because I think a lot of them are true. And listen, the playbook is complicated. Some teams have more complicated playbooks than others. It's ridiculous. If you haven't seen these things, they're crazy. So, there could be a learning curve here where it takes them a little bit to learn it. You need to know it by now. You've had the full offseason. Remember, no offseason last year. Right? They didn't have the mini camps. The training camp was truncated somewhat here, so that's also played into this. There's no excuse not to know it now. Right? You've had months upon months of theoretically not being able to do much else but learn your playbook here. This is your job here. He needs to know it now. So, no, I don't care that he didn't know it last year. I think if I'm the PR guy, listen, Tua, it's okay you didn't know it. Don't say it out loud. You don't need to tell everything to the media. All right? That's the only thing I would say there. Just
hey,
you don't need to say
there.
Things like that. Yeah, we need it. Listen, we're thankful for you.
I need
right?
that
you can tell
stuff.
Us, right? We'll keep it quiet. We won't tell anybody. I won't talk.
Sure.
I won't tell Craig.
Sure.
But yeah, that's the only thing here. You know, just keep it to yourself here.
Okay, fair enough. Just I need as much information as I can to report. So do not keep it to yourself. Anyone that's watching, tell me everything so I can report it. Okay, we got to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about another new television show that is getting ready to come out that George definitely has not seen, he definitely will not see, and he definitely does not care about. Isn't that a great tease for something to talk about on a television/radio show? I think so. So we'll hit on that next right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Chris is also standing by at the top of the hour for our update. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back. Nice little tease for us here to talk about some interesting television news. Now, this is probably another one of those non-George Kurtz shows on Netflix. But George, a year ago, a little bit, I think longer than a year ago, I want to say it was like in May, not June. But a year ago, we were all enamored with Tiger King on Netflix and Joe Exotic and all of those characters. Then it just went away. It was gone. But it's coming back. And Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live is going to be in this. I saw Nicolas Cage's name attached to this as well. And it looks like they are going to do a regular television show that we'll be able to see about the Tiger King. So I don't know. Any interest in this for you? I'm scared to ask.
Now, I have not seen the Netflix show, but it is on the list. All right, it is on the list to binge. All right, every now and then I go on Twitter or whatever and I put on, you know, please send me some list of shows to binge. And Tiger King was one that came up quite a bit, so it was on the list. We watched some others, like Ozark we watched first.
Oh, good. Banshee. Okay. At least you saw that. Okay.
Yeah, but Banshee we watched as well last year. And like I said, now we're in the middle of Schitt's Creek, which actually we're at the end of it, thank God. So I can't wait to get through. But I think we're watching Ray Donovan next. I think that's the next thing we're going to watch. Before, you know, right after the Friends reunion, of course, which I have to watch.
Right.
So it is on the list, Craig. I don't know when I'll get to it, but it is on the list.
All right. Well, listen, I think most of us saw it last year. Not surprised that George has not. Very busy with all of his work here at Sports. It's either Sports Grid or baseball or hockey. There is no time for George for anything else. Definitely no Seinfeld for sure. All right. That's our first hour. We got another hour to go right here on FST on Sports Grid. Coming up next, we'll hear from LeBron James talking about Devin Booker on the Phoenix Suns, and a lot of the young players who are taking over the NBA by storm. Also, we'll talk a little bit about the Stanley Cup playoff games tonight. Jim Sannis will give us a NASCAR preview. Gray Albright touches in on the changes that are coming for Major League pitchers. Got to stay away from the sticky stuff. All of that and more right here on Sports Grid on FST. Follow us on Twitter @SportsGrid. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter @CraigMish, George @GeorgeKurtz. And we'll be back with more fantasy sports today after Chris's update right here at the top of the hour. Don't go away. Stay on the grid.